Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Welcome once again to the Bible study program, Words of Praise. Our teacher is Dr. Donald R. Hubbard, and I'm your host, Jeff Apthorpe. How good it is to come your way once again with another timely message from God's Word. Our theme over the last month or so has been to study the life of the Lord Jesus as recorded in the book of Mark. We come today to one of the most intriguing miracles that Jesus performed, the feeding of the 5,000. Let's listen now to Dr. Hubbard.
We have before us in Mark chapter 6, where we begin our study today, verse 31, a most marvelous account, an account which is unusual in at least one way. The miracles of Jesus have always impressed me. John tells us in his Gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that the miracles which he reported under divine inspiration were set forth in order that the reader might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, the miracles which Jesus performed bore testimony to the fact that He is indeed the Son of the living God, the Messiah. The miracles of Jesus, therefore, were performed by our Savior in order to attest as to the deity of His person. Yet, however, when we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we become aware of a most singular fact. And that is that of all the miracles Jesus performed, only one is recorded in each of the four Gospels. Do you know which miracle that was? It was the feeding of the 5,000 men, which is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with verse 31. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Yes, the feeding of the 5,000 men is the only miracle Jesus performed which has been recorded in each of the Gospels. And because of that fact, surely there is something very important, very essential for the Christian, that God does not want us to miss in this miracle. Perhaps one of the great truths is that God really does care. And to me, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men, as set forth in the Gospel of Mark, carries with it the testimony that God really does care. And that's an important note in today's world, is it not? We live in a world of anonymity. We live in a world of busyness. How little time we take to spend with each other, to really get to know each other. Many years ago, when I was a youngster in the community in which I was reared, a small community of fewer than 5,000 people in southern Ohio, I can never remember my mother or father having to lock the front door. If we went away on a vacation, they just told the neighbor next door to keep a watch on things in case a fire would break out or something along that line, but we never locked the front door. And you know, to my knowledge, we never had a single thing stolen from our home in all the years that I was there as a young boy. More than that, we got to know one another in our neighborhood. We knew the names of individuals. In fact, we often had great fun together in our block as we had the time or took the time in order to become interested in one another. But as time went by, as television came into being, and then people became preoccupied with their work and the standard of living began to increase, and with the inflationary spiral, more than one member of the household was required to work, all of this took away the time or the desire or the incentive to really get to know one another. Today, of course, many of us live in a climate of fear. We are afraid to really open up our hearts to one another. And thus we have a tendency to feel so lonely. Many of you listening to my voice today in large cities know what it means to be locked away, so to speak, in apartments, in large condominiums. And perhaps you're there in a rest home, or perhaps you're there in a hospital room, or maybe you're there in a neighborhood, but you really don't know the names of your neighbors. And if you really were honest with yourself, if something happened to you, how many would really care? So in the midst of this impersonal world in which we live, in the midst of this busy world in which we live, in the midst of this world where there is so much loneliness, so much suffering, so much sickness of various kinds, the message needs to be proclaimed that God really does care. And so this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is going to set forth that tremendous truth. God really does care. He cares about you. God cares about me. Well, let's take a look at the text now. We're going to begin with verse 31. The time was early spring, and it is about a year before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The miracle itself, that is, the feeding of the 5,000 men, fell on the heels of the return of the 12 from their tour of Galilee, along with their subsequent report to Jesus of what had been accomplished. Let's begin to read, just for a moment, with verse 30 of Mark chapter 6. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Then Jesus said to them, you remember, in verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. As a result of the ministry of these disciples who had gone over a large part of the area, both teaching as well as casting out demons and healing, the name of the Lord Jesus was spread abroad. It is important too, at least to me as a student of the Word of God, to observe that this miracle was one which was witnessed by the largest gathering of spectators and one in which the greatest number of people took part in all of the miracles of Jesus. It says in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 44, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Yet we do know that there were children present, because in John's Gospel chapter 6, the disciples obtained the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from a young lad. Statisticians have suggested to us that if we use a certain ratio, which is suggested by the figure of 5,000 men, then there were probably between 10 and 12,000 people that the Lord fed on this particular occasion. 5,000 men, and the rest, of course, would be women and children. So let's go back in time now, and let's relive this experience, which is so deeply meaningful, and let's capture it for ourselves, in order that you and I might really understand in a new way, in a fresh way, that God really does care. There are several insights into the miracle that I want to lift out for your attention. The first thing that comes to me is that there was no leisure for Jesus. We read in verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Verse 31 contains the instruction of our Lord to the disciples about coming apart into a desert place and resting a while. It is always good to take time to break the regular and busy routines of life and have rest. You know, recreation is a very important part of God's program for the overall health and balance of the believer. The person who is so committed to his job that he never takes time for recreation or never takes time for rest abuses his body, which, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is a violation of Scripture. You know, the word recreation means literally re-creation. It's the idea of a new and fresh approach, the idea of resting, of being able to look at other things, to get our minds off of those things which weigh so heavily upon us, which press so heavily against us. Our Lord knows the value of periods of rest, and Jesus taught the disciples that after intense busyness, there is a need for rest and recreation. Tell me, do you follow that in your life? On this occasion, however, there would be no rest for Jesus and no rest for the disciples. Verse 30 says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Jesus told them to come apart in verse 31 to a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. But notice the latter part of verse 31, "And they had no leisure so much as to eat." No leisure for Jesus. Jesus and his disciples were going to spend a time apart in rest, but the crowd following them would not let them do so. What was the reaction of Jesus to this sudden turn of events? Was Jesus annoyed? Was Jesus irritated? No. But many of us would have been if our vacation plans had suddenly been canceled due to some emergency situation arising. No, in the midst of all of this, the heart of Jesus was genuinely, sincerely, and deeply touched. I think it is important for you and me to recognize that God does plan our lives, and that when our plans do not come to fruition, let us not become irritable. Let us not become touchy. Let us not lose our sense of composure. When the unexpected arises, let us see it as an opportunity in which that we might demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. More about this as we come to grips with some of the most fundamental issues which touch our Christian faith in our hearts and in our homes. In fact, into the deepest, innermost parts of our lives. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the word today. May it be a blessing to your people, and I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God will take the truth shared and press it home to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.